What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways podcast and filmmaker Vincent Caldoni. This is The Shocking Details.
Hey there. Welcome to a very special episode of The Shocking Details. I'm Joe. Joined as usual by
Vincent Caldoni.
And in this week on this very special episode, we're going to talk about the heartbreak of hemorrhoids.
No.
Okay.
No. We're not. That's the commercials. You're doing the commercial break.
Oh, crap.
Too soon.
Oh, okay. I had it backwards. I thought the episode was about hemorrhoids.
Oh, no. Okay. You thought they were going to do an episode about hemorrhoids and then a commercial about the RMS Republic?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, cause, yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. The Republic is, it is, in a sense, kind of a commercial appeal, but we'll get more into that later. But they are trying to raise funds about this this shipwreck.
Yeah, maybe they'll sponsor us this week.
I know. So now I got to slip into my pirate accent. Oi, mateys. Or. Yeah. Okay. There we go.
that's how pirates say.
Are. This week, we're going to talk about some more lost treasure again, because I know you guys like those kinds of stories, right?
Lost treasure, maritime accidents. We love
this. Yes, a maritime mystery, kind of. And so the treasure we're talking about, the mysterious treasure that we're talking about, is off the east coast of the U.S., about 50 miles south of Nantucket Island, Massachusetts. So, about 150 miles, 200 miles east of New York City. Doesn't that make sense? Just look at a map.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So our mystery is how large is a treasure? Does it even really exist? And by the way, is it still there? And of course, another problem is, of course, how to find it, because this treasure is in the middle of a very, very large ship, rusting massive pile of iron deep in Davy Jones' locker.
Have you seen pictures? You've probably seen pictures, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
I looked up some pictures. It's not in good shape down there.
No, you can't just swim into an open hatchway and swim around looking for treasure.
That.
No, it's the building. Essentially, it's collapsed. On itself. So you'd have to move a lot of rusting iron to get to your treasure.
So our legend begins in.
Oh wait.
Oh, wait, I skipped a good part.
You're always skipping paragraphs, dude.
Well, you got off on some stuff, and then I...
Sorry,
okay,
man.
We'll go back.
All right.
There's a small group of people who've been trying to get this treasure for, years.
Yeah.
And they've announced plans that they're going to get it this summer. That's right, this summer.
Yeah.
The year of 2022. I put an extra 20 in there. They've announced... I'm just gonna leave that one in. They've announced, yes, this summer of 2022 they're gonna go down there and they're gonna get it, so we may have an update on the story really soon.
Well, it should be cool.
It would be cool if this mystery somehow gets solved in the next few months, so sit tight. This could be a solved mystery.
It may be. We'll find out. It is cool when that happens.
Our legend begins in 1903 in Belfast in Northern Ireland, when the RMS Republic was built in the Harland and Wolff shipyards. Yes, that Harland and Wolff's that some of you may know as the guys who built the Titanic.
Yep. These guys are good at building ships that sink.
They built plenty that didn't sink.
No, but actually, yes, this ship was well built. It's not their fault the ship sank, but
it's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we go into that, but yes. Yeah, so it actually began its life as the Columbus, but then a year later, it got acquired by the White Star Line. Yeah.
Yeah.
The same line that owned the Titanic, and it was renamed.
Yeah.
In November 1904, the Republic settled into a regular run between New York and the Mediterranean. One of the largest and most luxurious ships afloat at the time, and it was nicknamed the Millionaire Ship.
Yeah, it's too bad it sank. I'd love to see it. The only ship like that I've ever actually had a chance to go aboard and look around is the Queen Mary in Long Beach,
I've
California.
I've been on it too. It's really cool.
Isn't that amazing?
It's really cool.
It's, yeah.
The whole time I was like, God, I wish I could travel on this. It would be so fun.
Wouldn't that be great to go to sea and spend a couple of weeks on that thing? That would be awesome. Yeah. No,
hanging out in like, I'm like, it really is. If you're down there in LA, just go check it out. It's really great.
It is amazingly cool. And I really hope to, it's one of these days, I hope I'm back down in SoCal and I'll have an opportunity to go visit it again.
Yeah. I just took the tour, but you can spend the night on it now.
That's what I hear. Yeah. And I hear also that it's haunted.
That's what they say. I don't know.
I don't buy it either, but hey, whatever, you know? But anyway, so the thing about the Republic though, is that, it was luxurious, but it also had a really huge third class section, with a capacity of 2000 passengers, and White Star had a tendency to fill it to capacity with Italian immigrants on the return trip to New York. And they actually made quite a lot of money off the Italians. And so, yeah, and they did this repeatedly for the next 4 years until the fateful day of January 23rd, 1909. Three years on this day, exactly. 3 years before Titanic was fated to go down. But on this day, the Republic left New York at O'Dark 30. And headed for Gibraltar. There were 742 passengers plus crew aboard, you know, because, again, they were banking on having the ship crammed full of people on the way back. But it was halfway empty on the way out. And, of course, there were tons of stinking rich people. And this is another thing. There is treasure indeed on that boat, because, you know, when it sank and all those people had to be quickly evacuated, they left, I'm sure, lots of valuable jewelry and stuff. In their staterooms and stuff. So nobody knows exactly how much of that there is on the ship. But salvaging it all would be really, really tough, because it's all just like sort of like all these pieces of jewelry mixed in with all this wreckage. So, I mean,
and not really. Sea bottom, sand or whatever's down there.
And so, so salvaging all that stuff, but there is indeed a treasure there, but it's not the kind of treasure you think of where it's all in a little pirate chest where you can just go grab it. But, you know, reportedly there is another treasure, again, that the one we're going to be talking about, that is kind of like all in one place. So anyway, the ship leaves. It's reported to be carrying supplies and some gold for delivery to the U.S. Navy's Great White Fleet, which was in the Mediterranean at that time. It was in Italy, helping victims of the monster Messina earthquake of December 1908. And yeah, Vincent, you're of Italian descent here. Do you know anything about the Messina earthquake? Apparently it was a whopper.
Not a ton. I know that it killed a lot of people, right? I mean,
yeah.
I have to go start Googling to get you the death toll, but I know that it was really huge. And the area around Messina was already a very poor region, and it spurred a lot of the last major wave of immigration to the United States from Italy.
Yeah,
that's all I know about. Sorry, I should have looked it up, but that's all I know about.
That's about as much as I know too. But yeah, a lot of the Italians just said, "That's it. I'm sick of Italy. Damn it. Even if I am Italian, damn it." So they left. So the gold on the ship, which again, the Great White
Fleet, is a lot like California. It's a great place to be rich and a terrible place to be poor. It was like that then, and it's like that now.
Yeah, I can believe it. Yeah. And California is amazingly full of poor people. You'd be surprised.
It's hard to make it down there, right? The cost of living and all the.
Oh, yeah.
But then if you have all the money in the world, man, why wouldn't you want to live in San Francisco?
Yeah. Or Malibu, you know? I mean,
or Rome.
Yeah. Or Rome. But anyway, so the U.S. Navy is there helping out victims of the earthquake. And hypothetically, supposedly, they were taking over some gold to pay the sailors, because they needed to get their pay. They wanted to go ashore and buy souvenirs or whatever it is, that drink or whatever it is that sailors do when they're on shore, right?
You know, I didn't even think about this when I read your script, Joe.
Yeah.
Were U.S. sailors paid in gold back then?
I don't know.
That sounds crazy to me, but I mean, maybe I don't know. Maybe this is a gap in knowledge, but it just seems wild that you'd be like, oh, you're getting paid today. It's not a check. It's not cash. It's just gold.
Gold coins. Yeah. What was it? I think we still had gold coins in America at that time, I believe, didn't we?
That's true.
Yeah. And so
that, dollar bills in 1903.
Yeah. Maybe it was felt that that was the easiest way to do it as far as, you know, this gold would be, you know, pretty decent currency if they're going to go ashore in Italy, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know that it was ever 100% confirmed that they were taking this shipment of gold coins to pay the fleet, but supposedly there was this amount of gold on the ship destined for the fleet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Plus,
there was also a rumor that a much bigger stash of gold was on board.
Yeah.
And that would be about $3 million in $10 double eagle coins in a small wooden barrel.
A lot
of small wooden barrels. Yeah.
I mean, these little barrels that they shipped gold in at the time were super cute. They looked like a wine cask. Little bitty, but wooden barrels like a wine cask. And
I think they were. Cask. I mean, essentially, right? I mean, they were casks, right? I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
I guess I'd be looking at them. They look like they're the size of a wine cask.
Yeah.
A small wine cask. Like the big barrels. Yeah. Like the ones that you would age, that you'd make port or sherry in. Mm-hmm. Not that you'd make like a Pinot Noir or a Cabernet, and like they're the smaller barrels. You can picture them.
Yeah,
tell, these barrels were the, depending on who's talking, either this was destined for Italy as aid for victims of the earthquake or was being sent to Tsarist Russia, funds raised by the Russian government by the sales of bonds in the New York bond market.
Yeah. So they're going to ship it all to Russia. Well, that makes sense, I guess.
Sure. Interesting.
Yeah, but there's some contention about the existence of this gold. Skeptics have noted that the gold does not appear in the ship's manifest, and there was never any acknowledgement of the shipment before or after the Republic was lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so there's some contention about this, but we'll come back to this topic.
Hold on to that one.
Yeah.
But if the gold did exist, it would have been brought aboard and locked in the Republic's strong room, which is believed to have been on the lower passenger deck deep in the bowels of the ship. We're going to talk more about that too.
Yeah. Cause actually,
and this actually kind of matters.
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I tried to get to the bottom of this, Joe. I didn't do too much research for this episode, but I did try to get to the bottom of that. And I bottomed out. I did not come up with much, but we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. It is a mystery.
Yeah.
So back to the drama of January 23rd of 1909, the ship entered a fog bank off Nantucket Island in the pre-dawn hours. The ship stayed in the outbound shipping lane and sounded her fog horn to alert all the other ships. And at 5:47 a.m., apparently we know this exactly, the ship's horn was heard off the port side.
Yeah, another from another ship. Yeah.
Right. So that tells you
they're... Oh, no!
they're not great. The engines were being reversed and a hard turn to starboard was begun. But alas, ships don't stop on a dime, nor do they turn on one. Man, you got a big old boat like that, it's got a lot of forward momentum.
Oh, yeah.
It was already too late. An Italian liner called the SS Florida came out of the fog and just straight up T-boned the Republic on its port side, like dead middle of the ship. Call that midships. And it just took it out.
Yeah, it did a hell of a lot of damage. And I saw a picture of the Florida, by the way, in the dry dock after the accident. Interestingly, it looked to be in pretty good shape, except for the very bow. It's like the bow of the ship just collapsed like an accordion. And then it collapsed right back. But then the next big bulkhead it went to, the ship was totally straight after that. So I guess they built the bow to just sort of, you know, anticipating something like this. They built it to sort of collapse and absorb the shock.
They did. I mean, I don't know that much about ships, but it's one of the things I know about, like the Titanic.
Yeah.
If the Titanic would have just crashed straight up into that iceberg, it might have made it. It probably would have made it, from what I understand. It's that it grazed the iceberg was what did all the damage. They're
made
not.
Made a big old rip in the side. Yeah.
Exactly. They're not really made to do that.
Yeah.
But they actually have quite a bit of strength. And you can, if you just picture sort of the skeleton of a ship, you can see why that would be. There's a lot of strength in the bow. So
yeah.
They hit something like a dock, like they miss the dock and they hit the dock. It's probably going to live through that, even if it's hobbled. It's when you get something to the side that the boat sinks. And that actually, if you think about a naval battle, that's why they like to put the cannons on the side of the ship, roll up alongside it, and just unleash on the middle of the thing, because that's its weakest point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty sure. Sorry, I'm not saying this as a fact. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no,
that makes sense. Like, that's pretty much how I think of it.
Well, yeah, and the other thing too is that it's a lot easier to hit a ship that way than try to hit it from the very front.
That's true. That's
another reason too. But anyway, back to our accident here, our little fender bender on the seas. So the Florida stayed afloat; it did not sink, but not so. The Republic was not so lucky, although it's definitely lasted a lot longer than Titanic did. But some compartments did begin to flood, but they were evacuated. The ship's watertight doors were all sealed. So the flooding was definitely contained and controlled much, much more so than with Titanic. And so it didn't sink right away. The radio room was damaged, but the radio operator heroically managed to piece the radio set back together, because this was like the early days of radio and radio on ships. And so this was a new deal, but they had this new thing called the Marconi Wireless Telegraph System, a radio. And they sent out a distress call, which again was a new thing, which is the call was not SOS. It was CQD. This was the old days. Mm-hmm. Apparently SOS had not yet been invented. So
that's interesting.
I know. Yeah. So CQD, which translates to all stations distress.
Okay.
I guess. Okay. So dash dot dash dot. Now you don't want to hear it more, Steve.
Okay. I don't care.
I like SOS better myself, but CQD is what it was.
I'm surprised. Yeah. I really would have thought that SOS predated this.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. CQD was first. I think SOS was first like proposed in 1906, but it hadn't totally become standardized use by this point in time. But anyway, so the CQD distress call was picked up by some other ships. So, that was good. So,
That's good.
That was good. So some ships did come to the rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Luckily, the Florida wasn't critically damaged, so the Republic's passengers were able to be evacuated to her via lifeboat. But this took 4 hours.
4 hours, by the way, grueling labor for the crew of the RMS Republic, who had to row all these fat cat rich people across in lifeboats to the Florida.
You'd have to imagine it would be really challenging, right? Because you're lowering the lifeboats, then you're getting the people on there, you lower down the lifeboats and you row it across and you bring it back. Then would they have been bringing the lifeboats like back up to deck?
I don't know. I wouldn't think they would have. That would have added a lot of time. I mean, there were towards the boat. If you look at pictures of the Republic and a lot of other ships of that type, they had a set of watertight doors on the sides of the ship, a couple of decks down, and that could be used for loading and unloading people. And of course, closed and sealed tight during the voyage. But so they could have opened those up, and they had a mobile gangplank that they could have. And again, you'll see pictures of some of these old ships where you see these like gangplanks that are like kind of secured to the side of the ship. So instead of sticking out perpendicularly from the side of the ship, they're actually deployed right down alongside the side of the ship. So they could have had that thing deployed. People go out that out through those watertight doors and down that gangplank and drop into the lifeboats that way. That would have saved time, because again, they didn't know how much time they had. They didn't know. For all they knew, they believed at the time, they believed that they were going to make it to shore and save the ship, because they told all the passengers to just hang on to their stateroom keys, because they'll be able to get all their belongings back later on when the ship gets to New York. So, or maybe they were just flat out lying, but they didn't want people going to their staterooms to rescue their jewelry boxes. They wanted people to go straight to the lifeboats. I don't know. But anyway, so that's again, a grueling 4 hours of work for the poor.
Yeah.
And then, of course, eventually the bulk of the crew, they had 300 crew on that ship. They kept behind a skeleton crew of about 50 crew members. So, and about 250 crew also moved onto the Florida. And so, and by the way, the Florida was already packed with Italian immigrants heading to New York. So it was at this point dangerously overloaded. But then a U.S. revenue cutter, the Gresham, weird name for a boat, but they got the distress call, and they showed up.
Only Portlanders will get.
Yeah,
and Greshamites.
Yeah, but they showed up and took off some passengers, but the Florida was still overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that evening, hours after the distress call went out, the White Star liner Baltic showed up. Now, this caused some consternation among the passengers on the Florida because the Baltic ignored them and went over to the Republic.
Yeah.
At least one account that you uncovered suggested that the Baltic went to the Republic to get some valuable cargo off there.
No.
There's really actually no proof of this. Eventually, the Baltic returned to the Florida and took on all of the Republic's passengers. A skeleton crew stayed aboard the Republic, and an attempt was made by the Gresham to take her under tow.
And I shouldn't say attempt. It looks like, according to every account that I've read, they actually did succeed in getting her under tow. I had no idea how far they got before the ship sank, though.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So fair enough. So they did get it a little way. So when we say under tow, right, that means that they're towing it. They're dragging the ship.
They were towing it back to New York to hopefully get it into a dry dock before it was totally unsalvageable. Yeah.
Right. Which didn't happen. The watertight bulkheads were leaking, and it really wasn't clear how long they'd hold. This almost certainly would have posed a threat to the Gresham. So they had to cut it loose at some point, right?
I'm not sure exactly when they had to cut it loose. I mean, when it started to go down and it was apparent that it was going down, they would have had plenty of time to cut the tow line,
right.
And then of course they had to stick around too and get the rest of the captain and the rest of the crew off because luckily none of them were killed. Nobody went down with the ship.
Right.
So that was a good thing. I mean,
that is good.
Yeah.
But on January 24th, 1909, 39 hours after the collision, which is a long time, man. It's a slow motion disaster.
Yeah, I can see where they thought that they had a chance to get it back to shore and save the ship. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a valiant effort. But the Republic finally chefed. It went under the water.
Yeah. Arr, this is off to Davy Jones' locker.
Yar, lost to the briny deep.
Ah, good. Yeah. Okay, we had to do the pirating stuff there. Sorry, folks.
You got it. Hey, real quick, Joe, can I just tell you my favorite joke?
Yeah.
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
R. I know. R. Yeah.
You'd think that matey, but it's actually the C.
Oh, good one.
All right. So continuing.
Yeah. Where are we at here? So six people died in total.
Yeah. Oh, that's not bad for as cataclysmic a wreck as it was.
No, although I heard one account I read, it was seven actually, like, two people died on the Republic. They were killed in the collision. And then I heard four men died on the Florida. They were up in the bow section and they died. One person on the Republic was grievously injured and died later. So that comes to seven. But anyway, roughly, it's either six or seven. But for two ships with so many people on them, that if only six died, you got to call that a win, sort of.
I'm calling that good. That is pretty excellent.
Yeah, everybody else was rescued. A very nice contrast to the Titanic. Although, of course, nobody knew that yet. it's been noted.
They were like, we did much better than the Titanic. And everyone's like, what?
And there was a tie what? Oh, yeah. But it's actually been said by more than one person that, in a way, the success of the rescue of the Republic contributed to the Titanic disaster 3 years later.
Really?
Because it was generally, the theory was back in those days by the ship lines and everything. They felt that it really wasn't necessary to carry enough lifeboats for everybody on the ship. As you recall, that was a problem on the Titanic. There was a bit of a shortage, right? And they felt that it really wasn't necessary because the North Atlantic shipping route was busy, full of ships. And thanks to the new Marconi wireless telegraph system, they would be able to summon help from other ships nearby quickly. So, therefore, why clutter up your nice ocean liner with lifeboats?
Is that really true, Joe? That's so dark. Like, what's it going to cost you? You put some extra lifeboats on there, man. And if you don't need them because there's too many boats out there and the wireless system works so good, well, you just dragged a few extra boats around with you. My gosh, that's not so hard.
Yeah.
It's not so bad.
Well, there's a couple of things about it. Number one, the lifeboats hanging on their davits, they obstruct the view, especially of the rich people walking around the promenade. So that's not bueno, right? And there's that. And also, it's felt that the lifeboats were kind of a downer because they were a reminder to the passengers of the dangers of the sea.
So yeah, no, I get that it.
Was,
I get it.
That was
the, you know what else was a reminder too? To the passengers of the danger of the sea?
What's that?
Drowning in the ocean.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That's a real bummer.
But anyway, so
it'll ruin your cruise, man.
Whether you like the idea or not, what happened with the Republic confirmed to a lot of people that this lifeboat theory was perfectly workable, and they didn't need to carry all these lifeboats on the Titanic. So we saw how that worked out. So our listeners were clear.
I don't like it.
No, I think
I dislike it.
No. I don't like it either. They should have but again, that's just the way the thinking went, another thing that contributed, as you know, to the death of the Titanic and many people was the fact that they didn't extend the watertight bulkheads up another deck because they didn't, where the rich people were walking around, and the rich people shouldn't have to like step through watertight doors every, 30 or 40 feet, should they? Right.
I don't know. They didn't,
and so that's why
if I were rich, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind either. I don't mind stepping through watertight doors, but I guess that was the feeling behind this design decision of the Titanic was that we're going to not extend the watertight bulkheads up to the top of that top level because it'll be more convenient for the passengers this way. And if they had done that, the Titanic very likely would have survived, but oh well. Again, it's got a lot of it, and I understand when you're designing a luxurious ocean liner, you do have to balance functionality with luxury and awesomeness. I get that. I really do.
No, no.
Yeah.
It's a real thing, but
it is.
I don't know. Yeah. Having to step through a watertight door, it's not that big an inconvenience.
No, I mean, when I am on a ship or a submarine or whatever, going through watertight doors, it's just, it's like, hey, it's cool. Because that's, if I didn't want to go through watertight doors, I would just be in a house on land instead of at sea,
Well, I think you also, I don't know. I don't know. People were different back then, right? There were cultural shifts, but
yeah,
for me, I might go, huh, why can't I just stroll through here like a normal door? And then someone says, actually, if we spring a leak, that thing could save your life. And I go, an extra step to get over this thing isn't so bad.
Yeah.
Problem solved. It's an information issue, right?
Yeah.
That's to save your life in case we get T-boned by an Italian freighter.
Yeah, and there's Italian liners just buzzing to and fro all around the oceans at this time. They were a real hazard.
If we strike an iceberg, this will save your life. Well, okay, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Just got to take a step,
Yeah.
When the Republic signed off to the salty embrace of the deep, did she actually take that $3 million in gold with her?
Mm-hmm.
As we said earlier, the gold doesn't appear on the ship's manifest. And there was never any acknowledgement of the shipment after the Republic was lost. But on the other hand, gold shipments of this kind were typically kept secret. And I'm sure you can imagine why.
Oh, yeah.
It's not something you want to, just advertise to every pirate on the ocean.
No, it's not just there. But I mean, if you announce it, hey, it's going to be leaving port tomorrow and it's going to have a pile of gold on it and they'll be loading it up tomorrow morning early. Then obviously the transport down to the ship is going to be threatened as well. You want to keep this stuff secret. Yeah.
I know from other things I've read up on, they did the same thing with trains. So that it wasn't on the manifest doesn't mean it wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, they wouldn't release the ship's manifest anyway until the ship had left port, even in the best of circumstances, for this exact reason.
Yeah.
So if there was a huge pile of gold on there and it was lost, and it's been said that the loss might have been kept secret for fear of touching off a financial panic, because it was so much gold.
Yeah.
At that time. That's not totally unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. That's probably the reason they didn't. If it was there and they didn't acknowledge it. Yeah. I mean, the sinking of the SS Central America, actually touched off a panic or contributed to it. That was in September 1857. And she was carrying hundreds of passengers plus 30,000 pounds of gold. And and that this did help touch off the panic of 1857. And by the way, there's a good book about that called Ship of Gold in the Deep Blue Sea. I don't know if you ever read that book.
No, never have. Never heard of it.
It's a good book. I've got it laying around somewhere. I got to loan it to you. But the Central America was like the people were going from like California, and then they would sail down to Panama, and then all their goods and gold would be transported across Panama. This is pre-canal. Mm-hmm. And then climb on ships and sail around to New York or New Orleans or wherever. So Central America was on that run, and it was just full of gold and also freshly minted rare gold coins and stuff like that, uncirculated. Mm-hmm. 30,000 pounds of this stuff, but it sank in a hurricane in the Atlantic. And so the book is like the first part of the book is about telling that whole story. And then the second part is about the people that finally put together an effort to find the wreck, because it was deep, deep down, far deeper than the Republic, and nobody had a clue where exactly it went down. So these people actually put together every scrap of information they could find about this, and they set some search areas, went out there with like side scanning sonars that they could drag behind their ship and stuff, and started surveying the bottom, and they finally found something that looked like a ship down there. And then closer examination, it turned out they had found the Central America. And then the next part is like figuring out how to get the gold. It was too deep for humans to dive down, so they had to use basically tethered drones to go down there and pluck all the gold out of the wreck and bring it to the surface. But they brought up a fantastic hoard of gold. And so but anyway, I'm really off on the side, little side jaunt there. Sorry about that. But
that's all right.
Back to the RMS Republic, there was never an official inquiry into the collision, which seems a little odd.
That does seem odd. I mean, you have to, even if you think there's nothing amiss here, there's no conspiracy, that's odd.
It is. I mean, yeah, it is, because you want to at least you know be able to like assess some blame and stuff like that. Although I think it was pretty clear.
There's got to be insurance companies involved. You're in American waters. Yeah, 1909. That's more than a century ago. But it's not like it was the Dark Ages or whatever. You know what I mean? We're not talking about the early days of ancient Greece. Like if two ships collide off the coast of Nantucket in 1909, someone in the U.S. government, you would think, would go, we should find out about this.
Yeah, we should actually do a deep dive and figure out the causes and see if we could head off the next one. But anyway, this lack of an official inquiry has led some people to believe that it wasn't held because the loss of all that gold had to be covered up. To head off a financial panic. So
I mean, even if it isn't true, you can forgive a person's mind for going there, right?
Yeah. And so, yeah, we're sort of like, I don't know. I guess we'll decide by the end where you and I come down on does the gold exist? Was it on the ship? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously a lot of people think the gold is there.
Well, and people sure found it was worth going down there to investigate.
Yeah.
So, but real quick, I want to talk about what happened to the Republic.
Yeah.
It came to rest actually in an upright position on the bottom of the sea, which is pretty amazing. But after 100 years of just sitting down there, the decks have collapsed and pancaked.
Mm-hmm.
So our gold that we're interested in finding out about is somewhere in that huge mess of rusted iron and seafloor and barnacles or whatever grow down there. Uh-huh. And the question would be, where in all that is that? And if you look at pictures, it's not super obvious from what you see on the floor.
No, it's not. The ship was 570 feet long, 68 feet of beam, a fairly large ship. And so, you can't just take it all completely apart. I mean, that's just, if they know exactly where the gold is, just burrowing down there through many layers of deck that you're going to have to like blow up or cut through or something to get them out of your way. That itself is going to be a big undertaking. But if you don't know exactly where the gold room is, well, now you know, it just the expense and the danger of moving all that scrap iron out of the way would just be too much. It would, you know. So yeah. Anyway, that's our question.
I mean, you got to understand, you're not just moving scrap iron. You're moving scrap iron to 200, 300 feet underneath the ocean. And that's, there's a lot of challenges associated with that. So I do want to talk about the rediscovery of the ship.
Yeah. I believe actually it was, this location was more or less known. I think there were some salvage efforts back in like the 1920s, 30s, I think.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, there were. Realize. Yeah. But technology of the day was not really up to it for that.
Yeah. It's pretty hard to put a guy in a suit and send him down 270 feet or however far that is.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1981, a famous ocean explorer salvage dude, Martin Baily. Yeah. Am I saying his name right? I didn't look it up.
It's like, imagine the word barely. Mm-hmm. No, imagine barely, but you're saying you're saying it with a Southern accent. So instead of saying barely, you say barely. That's about right. Barely.
So Martin Baily. Yeah. This could be the first time we've pronounced something right the first try.
I know, right? Yeah.
He spent like 35 years researching the ship and arguing about the existence of the gold. He's been working on it ever since then, ever since he found it in 1981.
Yeah.
He is committed.
Although I should say he's actually, since he discovered it, and there was a salvage effort in the attempt in 1987 that didn't work out at all. But since then he's actually gone off and done other stuff, but he's always been coming back to this, you know. He's never given up.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of irons in the fire. If you're interested in Ocean Rack, his name comes up a lot. That's how I knew how to say his name, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not because I can actually pronounce anything. I screw it all up.
Oh, yeah, back to Baily, yeah.
He's been out there, and he's formed this little consortium with his son Grant and a few other people. And like you said, they tried to get down there in 87, and I guess they searched the wrong section of the vessel.
Yeah, they didn't do enough research, I guess. And so
sounds like he kind of messed his life up. I mean, he ended up broke, and he was getting sued by his investors, I think. And he ended up getting divorced in this time.
Yeah, I tell you, he went to jail for a little while because apparently.
Apparently,
I don't know if he and his wife were totally divorced or just separated or what, but she got herself a new boyfriend. And apparently, Martin Baily wound up, like, you know, killing the guy.
And, oh my gosh. I did not know that about Martin Baily. Oh my God.
Yeah, he did. And I think he was found guilty of manslaughter. I don't think it was a full on considered a murder, but he did go to prison for 2.5 years. So
it's not worth it is what you're saying. Like there's no amount of gold down there that's worth it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, maybe they would have gotten divorced anyway. Huh? Who knows?
Hey man, the woman aside, there's no amount of, gold that's worth a 2 year bit and, you know, the knowledge that you have another man's life on your conscience.
Yeah.
I know. Down there for that. I just leave it down there, man.
Yeah. I don't know. It just depends on how much gold we're talking about.
I guess.
But anyway, so after all that, Martin Baily is not quite ready to quit on the Republic.
No, he's going strong.
Yeah. Just last September, his group has a website and they issue press releases and all this stuff. And by the way, I didn't know this when I started researching this story. I was pretty deep into it and had the script half written and everything. And then I discovered that History Channel actually did a short little, just a one season kind of reality show about him and his son and their search for the gold of the Republic. It was called Billion Dollar Wreck. It was like years ago, like 2016, I think, when they aired it. And I didn't watch the entire thing. I was able to watch some excerpts of it and stuff. It ran like 8 episodes, I think. No, there was not a second season. So anyway, but, you know, if you got the History Channel, you can go watch that. And, you know, I think that from what I watched of it, I don't think I missed out on any good information because I'll leave it at that. But
yeah,
they were having a hard time with that, and I realized they had a whole season of episodes to fill up. So I get it, but you know, there was a lot of padding in there that I saw. But,
yeah, but, and they always do that.
Yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, but anyway, so his group is still around, and they've announced their intentions to return to the wreck in summer 2022, and they figure it might take more than that. It might take 2 summers, like maybe summer 2023 as well.
Oh,
Yeah. Yeah. But they're now saying they know which part of the wreck to search, which is
well, good. That's an advancement.
Yeah. It's kind of necessary because he, you know, like we were saying, you can't really search the wreck without removing vast quantities of iron decking and bulkheads and stuff.
Yeah. But, I don't think that's really going to be. I mean, like, I guess even if they could do that, it probably wouldn't be worth the money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it would be incredibly expensive, not to mention dangerous. I can't imagine, you know, this. Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to get crushed to death by something, or you know,
right.
It's a very good chance.
I'm trying to say, right? You know, if it's like if they turn it into Operation Azor, then suddenly that $300 million or whatever's down there is starting to look like less money.
Yeah.
So how do they know where the strong room is located?
Good question.
They released a 53-page document explaining their reasoning that I can just tell you I did not read.
I did. I read the whole thing. I got a copy of it right here, actually.
You do? I bet you did. Yeah, I did. I thought about going after it, and I was like, I don't have time.
Yeah, but, I know. Yeah.
So the original ship's plans would be a good place to look, but the guys at Harland and Wolf Shipyard say they no longer have the plans because they were destroyed during the Belfast Blitz in World War II, which I did not even know happened.
Yeah, I actually was unaware of that, too. I did a little look, and it turns out that, they bombed the hell out of, because there were some valuable strategic targets in that area. And so, including the Harland Wolf Shipyard.
That makes perfect sense. I just didn't think German planes went that far north.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was not aware of the Belfast Blitz, but yeah. So they no longer have them. I mean, there was, Martin Bailey went to plans. Martin Bailey actually went to England and offered up a £25,000 reward to anybody who could give him the plans, in case on the off chance that somebody had them, and there were no takers. And he also filed suit against the archivist for Harland Wolf Shipyard and demanding that the plans be turned over. And that suit was thrown out, I believe, in 2013. And again, Harland Wolf just says, you know, we don't have them. And it might be too that somebody maybe after the wreck, maybe somebody who worked there took the plans. Maybe on the supposition that, hey, somebody is going to want to salvage this wreck. Maybe, you know, they'll come looking for the plans and I can demand a piece of the action in return for giving them the plans. So maybe that's what happened to them. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So, the plans are not there. So how do, you know, and that would have told them exactly where to look for the gold. It would be in the strong room of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But so how did they figure out that stuff?
Well, without getting too deep into the weeds.
Yeah.
Bottom line is they were looking at other ships that were similarly constructed and taking an educated guess about where the strong room would be. Right. Do I have that right, Joe?
Yeah, and so especially they were looking at plans of similar ships that were built by Harland and Wolf.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so they
came up with it. They think that the strong room is located on the lower deck, so that's three decks down, on the ship's center line, about 135 feet forward of the rudder post. Their conclusion is pretty reasonable, we think.
Huh? Yeah, I think so. I think it's reasonably well supported by, and so,
but here's my question for you, Joe. Why would they release this document?
Yeah, because it really, when you think about it, it's kind of a treasure map. I mean, there's this big, massive ship, and they're you know, telling everybody where the friggin' treasure is. And typically, you keep your treasure map secret, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I assume that they did this to convince potential investors that they know what they're doing, and they actually have a reasonable chance of getting to the gold. I assume that's the reason they did it, but you know,
I guess so.
I guess, you know,
I guess they're also betting that no one else is going to spend the time and money to get down there and get it ahead of them.
I mean, you know, it's not that easy probably to throw together a salvage expedition for something like this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you're not going to do it overnight or in a week or a month even. You would have to really sit down and figure out some sort of action plan. Cause you know, You'd have to get a lot of money together. And again, I assume that's why they released this document, which again is pretty convincing as to where it is, because it was buried down deep, kind of. Mm-hmm. And you know, actually, the uh, there was, I read a quote from where, I can't remember what book it was about. It was about the salvaging of the ship Egypt, which also had a bunch of gold in the strong room, which was also buried deep down sort of towards the stern of the ship, the several decks down. And the author was kind of complaining. He said, why do they always bury the strong room so deep down in a place where it's going to be damn near impossible to get to if you need to salvage it? And good point. Good point. I don't know.
Joe, all of this talk, it doesn't answer a fundamental question, though.
Yeah.
It's not answering the question of whether the gold is even there. Does it exist?
Yeah, that is a very good question.
Because if it does, Martin Bailey or whoever gets down there, like that's worth, in today's prices, around $1 billion. Is that correct?
That might be a bit inflated, but it's worth quite a lot. I mean, when you take, especially not just in when you look at the collector value, because I have heard that a $10 double eagle in good shape fetches about $1,500 at the collector's market these days. But also because they're shipwreck coins, apparently there are coin collectors who actually kind of specialize in shipwreck coins.
Makes sense.
And they collect those. And so those have even more value. Of course, you got to balance that against the fact that you're dumping, this would be how much? About 300,000 double eagles. If they get all of them, you got to balance that against the fact you're dumping a lot of product on the market all at once.
Maybe you dribble it out.
Yeah. Maybe you probably dribble it out, you know. So that's
right. You'd have to do it, right?
I guess you'd have to do that. Yeah. But still, we're talking about a fantastic amount of money. And plus, the other thing, too, of course, when they get into the strong room, whether the $3 million in gold exists or not, the gold that was destined for the Great White Fleet is probably there, you know, but also there were probably at least some passengers on board who were keeping some valuables in there as well. So, yeah. I mean, you know, if they find it, they're probably going to find something good. It's just a question of, you know, if that $3 million stash of gold coins isn't there, well, are they going to make enough to pay off their investors? I don't know.
That's a good question. Well, probably not. I mean, they'll find something probably, but I don't know if they'll get enough to pay them off.
It's hard to say, but if they've...
Not to get too far into it, Joe, but, you know, if you're investing in marine treasure, that kind of a salvage operation...
You know, it's a risk, right?
You are a non-risk-averse investor.
Yeah, you're going to be... you're going to be somebody kind of rich, because... I mean, the thing about things like this too is that besides the chance that they're not going to find the treasure, you gotta like factor in the risk that the people that you're investing in are just freaking thieves and they're con artists. You gotta factor that in. I'm not saying that the Bailey's are con artists necessarily.
But people who do this kind of work often are.
Yeah, yes, they are. But the big question is though, is this $3 million or now $500 million or $1 billion, is it there? Well, I think we need to consider the possibilities.
I think we do, but I think we need to take a break first.
I think we do. Yeah, our sponsors have a word to tell you about hemorrhoids or something. So we'll be back in just a moment.
It's probably something much cooler than hemorrhoids, so we'll be right back.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And we're back. All right, let's jump into theories here. So there's two basic categories of theories here. One is there is gold. Another one is that there is not any gold. And so those can be further subdivided, of course. Right? So I guess, we'll go with the no gold first, right? So the first theory would be the gold is just not there, and the Bailey's are sadly wrong. Yeah.
So let's before we go on to another option about the Bailey's.
Yeah.
What hard evidence is there that the gold is there? It wasn't on the manifest. So what contemporaneous document says, they put that gold on there. Didn't put it on the manifest because they didn't want to get robbed. That makes perfect sense. But then what do you say? But this proves it was on there.
They didn't talk about it afterwards.
So if I were talking about Bailey right now.
Exactly. They've actually pulled some quotes from like the New York Times and the Washington Post of the day saying that there, you know, that there was a $3 million stash of gold on this ship. So that's something. But there's not a lot of hard evidence. So I got to tell you, I mean, mostly it's just it's just rumors and scuttlebutt. The stuff that was reported in those papers, I mean, I have no idea how solid their information was. But
yeah, I'm curious to know what they know.
We do know
they've got something.
Yeah, we do know that actually ships like this, they did have those strong rooms for a reason. So it was absolutely not beyond the realm of reason to think that they would have had they would have been taking a big shipment of gold somewhere. I mean, definitely more than totally possible if they did. But as to whether this particular ship on this particular voyage had it, the hard evidence for that is like, well, it's a little sketchy. So I don't know.
So that would lead us with a couple things about the Baileys.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be that they're committing a little bit of, I don't want to say fraud, but that they know that there's no gold on there.
Uh-huh.
And that they're making a living pretending that there is. That's why they haven't been down there pulling gold out of there.
Yeah.
1981, that's not exactly yesterday, man. They've had a long time to get down there and get the gold.
Yeah. Again, not the easiest thing in the world. Though.
No, and, not at all. But that is also 41 years.
I think in terms of scaring up backers to invest, too, I think that it was not helpful that Martin Bailey wound up in that legal trouble and wound up going to prison. That doesn't help your credibility a lot, you know?
It doesn't help that they already went down there in 87 and found all of Bupkis.
Yeah, that's true, too. But, you know, it's to give them a little bit of credit that it might be that the Baileys are aware that the gold may not exist. It might be that they're being just a little bit over-optimistic in what they're stating about the existence of the gold, because of course they are gung ho, like absolutely it's there. I'm totally not as convinced as they are. But it might be they're aware that the gold might not be there, but they think it's possible that it maybe does. So what the hell?
Yeah. You
know, right.
Yeah. Well, and like we were just saying right before the break, right? If you're going to invest in this kind of thing, you are a person who is non-risk averse. Is that how you say that?
Yeah,
right? Like you're willing to take a big gamble on there being some gold down there.
Yeah, and you might be the kind of person that's rich enough that you can afford to lose a couple hundred grand, you know. And so and I got to tell you, it if the gold is there, I really think somebody should sure as hell go get it. I mean, don't you think? I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. So, the next sort of batch of theories would be along the line of the gold, she exists.
So
let's break these ones down.
Yeah. So let's imagine that the Republic really did leave New York with this massive treasure in gold and stashed in a strong room. Mm-hmm. But what are the possibilities then? Maybe it did leave port that way, but it's not there anymore.
So we could maybe put it on just first one off the bat.
Yeah.
The gold, it's there, but somebody's already gone down and got it.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. So what I don't love about this is that finding sunken treasure tends to be big news. And the reason for that is that inflates the value of what you find down there.
You're
not just going down for the per pound price of gold, per ounce price of gold, right? You're going down for the value of a shipwreck that has, has gold on it, right?
Yeah,
that sells for more than gold sells for pound. It's not a mining operation. Otherwise, you'd go dig a hole someplace.
Yeah.
So I do find that hard to believe. But that said, if they were looking to, avoid salvage treaties, like whatever else, maybe.
There's other reasons, which, hypothetical reasons that we could talk about a little bit later,
right,
too.
We're going to get to those in a second.
They got the gold by sketchy means, perhaps. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, a theory that this is pure fancifulness on my part here. I decided to throw in a couple of fun theories, one of which is that this gold shipment actually did exist. But what if it was not on the Republic? Because what if the stuff they loaded on the Republic was just a decoy shipment? for security reasons. Mm. And all those cute little wooden barrels were just filled with lead. What if, right? Okay. So imagine this.
That's an interesting idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, because there are, as we talked about, layers of security surrounding these shipments. You know, the one of which is actually, you know, the location of the strong room. And actually, that was often kept secret. It usually wasn't even labeled on ships' plans. Sometimes it was deliberately, it was deliberately mislabeled even. And so, you know, the strong room may have been labeled as like dry goods or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Many members of the ship's crew didn't even know where the strong room was.
It's true. Yeah.
And of course, only a few people on the crew would know the nature of the cargo that they were carrying. They wouldn't tell everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's no need to be going in and out of there during the voyage. Right.
So yeah.
May as well just label it something useless and then tell people to keep out and only give certain people the key.
Yeah.
Why not?
But at the same time, I mean, there would also be people on shore who knew because the gold had to be transported to the ship. Certain dock workers would probably figure it out given the weight of the cargo. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, as you know, word has a way of leaking out when there's fabulous hoards of gold involved.
True. True.
So my theory is here, for an extra layer of sneakiness, why not go through all the motions of shipping the gold on the Republic, but then secretly put the gold on another ship or maybe several different ships a little bit later. Right. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So, okay, imagine this, then. You've put this whole thing together. You sent your decoy shipment of gold. And, of course, this is very, very secret. Just you and maybe a few other people are aware of this secret decoy plan. And then the word gets back to you, the Republic just sank. What do you do?
Hmm.
What would you do, Vincent? I know what I'd do.
I know exactly. I'd be like, I just made a bunch of money.
Hell yeah.
Real good payday coming at me.
Hell yeah. But so I, you know, it's, again, this is outlandish, but actually maybe with the small possibility this might have happened. So somebody actually had themselves a lucky little payday. You know, when that ship sank, maybe, possibly. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
It would be awfully cool, I think. Yeah. We should make a movie about this, actually.
It's a really fun way to do a heist.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about you? What have you got any thoughts about if the gold exists, what do you think happened to it? What do you think what do you think might have happened?
Well, okay. So we're talking about that the gold was on the Republic, then you really have to entertain some idea about the gold being moved off of the Republic, right?
Yeah. Somebody's nabbed it, right? Okay.
So if you're the captain of the Republic and the passengers have been taken off the ship and you're being towed back to shore, you're on there by yourself with the gold, which you know about it.
And just a few crew members. I mean, yeah. But it's
just
a big ship.
Just a few guys, man.
Yeah.
Oh, the temptation, right? You've got to think about that temptation.
Yeah, for sure.
Buds. It's probably some people you really trust.
Yeah.
So you have them go to the strong room. Of course, the one guy who you know would have the key to the strong room, right, is going to be the captain himself, who's one of the only people we know for sure was on that boat at the very end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just haul a bunch of gold coins up to the main deck.
Yeah. They could. And actually, typically the strong room on these ships was like several decks down from the main deck. But
which we're pretty sure was the case with the Republic.
Yeah, and it was. But there was a hatch in the deck above it. And then presumably it was loaded like for heavy cargoes and stuff. That stuff was just like lowered directly into the strong room. So you'd take out the hatch on the top deck and then there'd be hatches below in each deck. And then you lower all that stuff down in there by a crane, right? So, so you don't have to do all this work by hand necessarily. You could use like, you know, a winch on the deck of the ship. You just, you know, you just open all these hatches and run a rope or a cable down there and put all these things like, you know, that cargo netting that they use on ships, you know, you put some of these things in those things and just start.
Yeah. And even if it wasn't that, they're going to find something. There's going to be something aboard that ship they can use.
Yeah. Exactly. And these are sailors. They're good at this kind of thing, you know, and they're good at moving. Oh, yeah.
That's their training.
Yeah. So they winch all these casks full of gold up to the top deck. Well, what happens then?
Yeah. Well, I lost our place.
So you talk to your most trusted crew members. You have to go to the store and start hauling kegs of gold. The gold is right, so you got the gold all up on the main deck. So you hide it somewhere in the superstructure, up where the bridge is, the captain's cabin, whatever. Somewhere it's easily gotten to. Or, you know, you could actually find a place to just stash it right on the deck of the ship itself, you know. And if you wanted to, for that matter, you could tie some stout ropes to it, lengths of stout ropes, and then tie the other ends to some buoys. And so maybe later on you'll be able to come down and come back to that spot and find the buoys and just haul that crap up without even having to tie it down to the wreck.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Meantime, your watertight bulkheads are straining, but holding against the pressure.
Right.
If the ship won't sink on its own, then you go below decks and start opening watertight doors.
Yeah, because
this is really smart, right?
Well, you have to. The ship has to sink at this point. Now, this is interesting, too, because remember, the Republic stayed afloat for 39 hours. I mean,
that's true.
You know, it might be that, you know, if this theory was just, of course, entirely, completely hypothetical, we have no evidence here. But if the ship had made it all the way back to shore, then your plan comes to naught, and you guys would just strain your muscles for no reason whatsoever.
Exactly.
And in fact, you're going to have some questions to answer about why you were
futzing
with the gold. Yeah, right? Yeah. So you actually kind of, at this point, you kind of need the ship to sink, don't you, to make your plan work, right?
That sure helps, right?
Yeah.
And who would know where the water is deep enough that you could really get away with it, right? Because remember, this is 1909.
Yeah.
We're still having trouble getting down there to that wreck. Those guys would have known the depths out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So you would have known that. Yeah. So you wait until it's, not too deep, but not too shallow either. You know, you don't want it to be
that takes expertise. That's not just Joe Blow that's going to do that one.
That's right. So, yeah, you figure out when you're in the right spot, and then you just had that guy go down there and pop open that last door, the one that's got 1 million gallons of water on the other side of it. That would be a tense job. You'd have to be careful.
Right?
You have to be careful not to get in the way of that door because, man, it's going to fly up with some force. Yeah.
I wonder if there's a way you could do that, though. I guess I don't know. I feel like there's a way you could figure out how to do that, how to relieve that pressure in a really smart way that would cause it to sink. But
you never know. I mean, there probably are equalization valves in the bulkheads themselves that
that's
you could open
what I was
up.
Yeah. If it maybe wasn't going up to a door and turning the wheel, but like
you might just
using
be able to
other
turn
systems
it. Yeah.
In the boat.
Yeah. Yeah. There's probably other ways to flood those compartments. I'm sure there were. Yeah. Maybe that's why it took 39 hours to sink. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. Cause you're not doing it. You're not just ripping a big hole in the side of it. Metaphorically, you're slowly flooding it. You're letting it fill.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Right. So I like your theory. So then when I assume the gold goes down with the ship, but you've got a plan, right, to come back and get it.
Yeah. So yeah. So this would be the $3 million gold shipment. It was there and it was on the Republic, but somebody comes and they come and get it out of there. You put it in a place you know they can come get it. You've got it on board.
Super
it goes
easy
down.
To get to. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
All those guys have somebody, you've even conveniently wrapped it in cargo netting, so all your diver has to do is just come down and hook a cable and swim
away.
It's
like that game, what do they call that, where you drop the little thing down and you try to get the stuffed animal?
Yeah,
you're just playing that with it.
Yeah.
That's so much, if you think about it, Joe, that is so much different from trying to go down and dig through the sea floor and the wreckage of the boat and figure out where the strong room was located. Like that's so much easier if you just leave it on the top, right where you know it is. And then if you've got guys on there who are executing this mission, who can take a good chart position.
Yeah.
Right. Know what they're doing. They're not bank robbers.
Yeah.
They're sailors. They'll take a position and they'll be able to tell you at this time of day, the stars will be in this position on this chart that I have that I'll show you. That you can now get right where you need to be, and all you need to do is drop it a few times with a hook and pull it back up.
And eventually
that's a lot easier salvage than what the Baileys are talking about doing.
Yeah, and you know, it, from their point of view, like if you're the captain and you know for a fact that this treasure is in the strong room, you're thinking to yourself, well, my ship is sinking. It's going to go down. It's going to take all that gold with it. Why shouldn't I go down and just sort of, you know, grab it? I mean, it's going to be lost anyway. Why shouldn't it be in my pocket instead of in Davy Jones' locker?
Right.
That makes total sense to me. It. It's not.
I get it. Or no one gets it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
why
one
not?
Or the other.
Yeah. I mean, so you, why not? You know, and yeah.
Dude, no matter how moral you are, you have to admit that the temptation would be there, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Like I said.
Right, it's the difference between like the government or whoever loses the money and you get the money. And those are really the only two options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would, even if you said, well, we can't do this. That's not okay. That's immoral. That's stealing. You'd mm-hmm. still be tempted. You'd be thinking about it, like, is it really that bad?
Yeah.
Like, I think I'd be tempted. I'm just be straight with you. I would be tempted.
Yeah, I would be too. I mean, you could do quote unquote the right thing and say, oh yeah, we put the gold up on the deck because, you know, we knew you guys would want it, you know, and sure,
that's
be true. Really,
yeah, that
would
that's
be,
a good point.
That's another option that you have. I don't know that I would take that option myself, but, you know, but yeah, anyway, so, you know, again, this is extreme hypothetical. Those guys probably, I don't know exactly how busy they were trying to, like, say, keep the ship from sinking or whatever, but it seems to me that, I don't know, they probably could have taken the time to get that gold up, you know, up on deck somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
And again, you know, that this leads us back to, well, this leads us back to something that we sort of mentioned in passing a little while ago, which is that the gold was brought up from the strong room, but it was transferred to the Baltic when the White Star liner Baltic showed up. Remember, they did go over and pay a visit to the Republic. You know, you know, that's possible. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that it went over there to rescue the gold before it went back to the Florida to rescue the passengers. I mean, I would rescue the gold before the passengers, wouldn't you?
No.
Okay. So anyway, that's a possibility.
I could see that happening.
Yeah,
I'm with you that I could see that happening. I'd like to think that even in my darkest moments, I would value human life over some stupid metal.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I mean, they look at the situation. Florida's okay, and it's not in an optimal position with all the people on it, but they'll be fine for the time being. We're just going to go grab the gold to come back, you know? And, you know, so maybe that's what happened. I'll go, once you know, if they did that, then you're kind of bringing more people in on your little thing. You know, but
that's true. Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, right. Imagine the captain has had a certain trusted members, just a few guys haul that gold up to deck. And then he contacts via radio, contacts the captain of the Baltic, says, hey, scoot on over here before you go get all those passengers. I got to talk to you. You know, I mean, so maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
The final theory.
Yeah.
Which is the bummer theory that
no gold theory.
Yeah, I hate saying it because I really want it to be one of the other ones, but I'm going to kind of go with this one.
Yeah, it's actually the existence is pretty sparsely documented, you got to admit, right?
Right. So was there really $3 million dollars in gold?
Yeah.
Was it really there?
Yeah. Again, maybe.
Right. Like you said. So what you said is that the main source is reporters. Well, look, man, I'm not trying to be too hard on the press here, but this is 1909. People printed some stuff just to have it printed.
Oh,
I would not say that the only good source of the existence of this gold is some WAPO and NYT articles from 1909.
I know. And the thing about it is, too, is like, that's the kind of thing that really, really gets the juices flowing with your readers. You know, everybody loves lost treasure. I mean, so, you know, if somebody's
going to sell papers, you've already put in the time to report the story.
Yeah.
You throw in a little red meat for people, you keep them buying papers.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, I, and some of these articles were written like well after the fact, like, you know, a few decades after the sinking as well.
Right.
You know, plenty of time for things to get garbled and then for initial little rumors to grow into something really bigger. And also even today, a lot of the buzz surrounding this legendary treasure of the Republic, it could easily have been ginned up by just certain ambitious treasure hunting types.
Exactly.
And you know, various clickbait web pages, you know, so, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's where I come down on this. I love all these theories about a conniving captain. I busted out a theory to you before we were even recording that this was an Italian conspiracy. That's why
the Italians plowed into it. Yeah.
They snuck a guy in there and they like rammed it with an Italian ship. Dude, it's all cool. But the truth is that it's all so paper thin because the only thing we have is some kind of dodgy newspaper reports to say that the gold was even ever on there.
Yeah.
And when you get down to that, man, I hate saying it. I hate being that guy.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like unless we can figure out where those papers sourced their information from.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to believe that there was maybe not no gold on there, but not $3 million. And that was just something that came out of trying to sell papers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. I want to stress, though, it is possible that it's there and that it was just kept secret and that after the loss of it, they actually didn't talk about it because, again, of the financial considerations for the stability of the financial market. So it is.
Sure.
Yeah, it is entirely possible. But yeah, there's not a lot of strong reason to believe it, though. You know, I'm with you.
No, I don't think so.
But even though I'm skeptical about it, about whether it actually existed, it doesn't mean I'm opposed to other people risking their lives to go look and see, you know?
And hey, man, I'll say this for Martin Baily. Uh-huh. I've got some doubts about some of the stuff he does, but I think that he is an able enough seaman salvage person.
Yeah.
And if he wants to go down there and risk his butt, he knows what he's taking on.
Yeah.
He can do that if he wants to do it.
Yeah.
And if there are investors out there who are willing to invest in a crazy scheme like that on the off chance it pays off big, hey, let them, man. That's good. Just go for it.
I actually really hope they succeed. I hope they find the gold.
I do.
Personally.
I do. 100%,
yeah.
Joe. 100%.
Yeah.
I really hope they go down there and they find a whole mess of gold down there.
Yeah.
And I will eat my words gladly and give them a standing ovation for their work.
Absolutely. I'm not 100% convinced that the gold is mythical. You know, I'm just not... I'm more convinced that it is, but you know, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find out. We'll see. They're talking a lot about this whole expedition this summer. We'll see if they actually come through with it or not. It's not a given.
I'm excited to see.
I really hope it happens, but I think a lot of it depends on things like, you know, if they get enough investors on board that they can actually put something together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be an expensive proposition. So anyway, guys, if you're out there listening, best of luck to you guys. And hopefully you'll find the gold and hopefully you remember that we said so many wonderful things about you and you'll like shoot us some double eagles. Right.
All right.
Absolutely.
Double eagles for all. Let's sign it on off.
Absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, stick around for things like email address and stuff like that. And your weekly reminder, of course, to leave us a good rating and a good review wherever you get this fine podcast from.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's about it. All right.
We will see you guys next week. Be sure to hit us up on social media and let us know what you think is down there off the coast of Massachusetts.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do want to hear what you think. Okay. All right, you guys. Ta-ta till next week.
The Shocking Details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at Shocking Details. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.